Oh Lord, one thing we ask this morning, one simple thing, perhaps a complex thing, help us to understand how to pray and what it means when we pray. Come into our lives, Lord Jesus. Amen. I have always been puzzled somewhat about prayer. I pray. I struggle in my prayer sometimes. I sincerely pray. I often use a prayer from a book, or I read from the Bible and then pray. But long ago, even as early as about 9 years of age, I remember trying to memorize scripture, probably because we had a very good vacation Bible school in our church, a good Sunday school. My brother and I were together in the Sunday school, just he and I, and if we did not go to church, the Sunday school teacher would come and get us from home and bring us to church. And so we very quickly developed that pattern. But I remember we had a country store just up from my parents' house, and we would go to that country store perhaps to get a soda pop, a Coke. My brother always got Dr. Pepper. He always chose peanuts. I don't know. I think I usually chose a moon pie. And during hot weather, we would get an ice cream sandwich perhaps, or one of those push-up cones. You remember the orange sherbet you could push up on the stick? And it was always so sad when you pushed too hard and it fell out on the ground. But I remember one summer we were going to that store. It was probably 3/4 mile away from my parents' home. I was 9, my older brother was 12, and so I looked to him for protection. But as we walked up, I always knew there was a dog on a chain at one home we would pass. And I always worried about that. And so as a child, I remember Matthew 7:7-11. You know that one, don't you? I knew it at that early age as I would walk. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open. For those who ask, receive. Those who seek, find. Those who knock, the door will be open. For what one of you, if a child asks for bread, would give him a stone? If a child asks for a fish, would give him a serpent. You then, who know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? And then I would end by saying, Lord, don't let that dog bite me. And I remember that one hot summer day, the dog not on the chain, the dog bit me anyway several times. My brother was faster than I was. And so the dog didn't bite him, but boy, did I have a story when I got home. And so I've always struggled about prayer, and so thus this series, we're in the 5th sermon. We have acknowledged, first and foremost, that when we pray, it acknowledges our dependence upon God for all that we have and all that we are. The prophet Jeremiah, we remember a few weeks ago, he assures us that you will find me, says Jeremiah, you will find me if you seek me, if you seek me with all your heart. It is a great and comforting promise, those words of Jeremiah. If you seek God in your life, prayer is the path to discovering God. We also affirmed 1 week that one of the best words we can pray when we pray, especially in times of trouble, for God is our refuge and strength, but one of the best words we can use is the word help. Help me, God. That's a good prayer. It's a good prayer when you're running as a 9-year-old. Help me, God. Help me get away from this dog. At any stage in life, coming to God for guidance and help and direction is to discover a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, to discover a relationship with God's Son. It is the law of life that all of us need help. There are no exceptions to that rule. All of us need God in life. And what I want to strongly suggest to you today is that prayer can be much more than just a cry for help. It can be that, but it can be more. I submit to you that when you pray, It is a declaration of your faith in God, a God who is trustworthy, a God who is faithful, a God who will act in life. I believe, in other words, and so I pray. We have just celebrated July the 4th, and July 4th is a celebration of freedom. Follow me just a moment. The men and women who declared their independence from Britain through the Declaration of Independence, they announced their determination to be free from outside control. Free to make their own laws, free to choose their own government, free to raise their own taxes or lower them through representation. Freedom to become a nation among nations. And we still struggle as a nation to deal with this freedom that we have, the freedom to speak and the freedom to make laws and accomplish things through government. But this has been our choice. 13 colonies dared to announce their intention to break away from the mother country. And so the Declaration of Independence is our nation's birth certificate. And this past Thursday, we celebrated 243 years as a nation. However, we are apt to forget that our forebears not only announced their independence from Britain, but also they declared faith in God in signing that constitution. They prayed, I believe. I believe they prayed expecting great things, expecting God's protection, expecting freedom as a gift from God and other inalienable rights. They prayed to be a light to shine out to other nations. And so the declaration was not only a gesture of rebellion, it was an affirmation of their faith in the Creator, their Creator. They signed the declaration using these words, and I quote, "With firm reliance on the protection of divine providence," end quote. Prayer then is a declaration of faith, your faith and my faith when we pray. I believe and therefore I pray and put my life in God's hands. Prayer can be, you see, much more than simply a cry for help, but it can be that. Make no mistake about it. And so how, as American Christians, do we keep faith today with our forebears who seem to be so filled with this declaration of faith in God? Let me mention several ways. First, we affirm that true freedom requires loyalty. True freedom requires loyalty. Our prayers represent a loyalty to a higher power than ourselves, that we cannot go it alone. A ship, for example, a ship is not free when it will not follow a compass or when it will not follow the North Star or the directions of its captain. But if it heads out in any direction that she chooses, such a ship will eventually flounder on the rocks. It is a paradox. But freedom without a fixed discipline leads to chaos. And one of the fixed needed disciplines, there are many in the Christian faith, but one of them, as a follower of Jesus Christ, one of the disciplines is prayer. We need prayer. Prayer helps to give us that sense of direction as Christians. It gives us direction as a nation, or we find ourselves floundering. It's interesting to me that the freedom which was won in America is often compared in contrast with the freedom that was won in France. Let me quote. In France, liberty and freedom became license and brought on the reign of terror, and the end result was a dictator, Napoleon, who left all of Europe in ruin for over 30 years. The same revolutionary spirit in America resulted in a new order, a constitution, a democratic form of government. End quote. What was the difference? I believe it was because of the Pilgrims and the Puritans of New England, because of the Quakers in Pennsylvania, because of the Catholics of Maryland, that America was founded, along with the many Congregationalists and Presbyterians who fled religious persecution in Europe and came to the eastern borders of this country and infiltrated this country and helped it to be founded upon a rock. It was founded upon God in the minds and hearts of people. And so when we pray, we affirm that God has a place in our minds and hearts as individuals and hopefully as a nation. Oh, that everyone prayed. Prayer then becomes a declaration of one's faith in God, like the declaration of faith founded upon God as a nation. Secondly, we are called to be brave. We're called to be bold as we come to make our request to God. Those who ask will receive. Oftentimes, you may remember when I pray the morning prayers, when I come to the Lord's Prayer, oftentimes I use the segue sentence, "Oh Lord, teach us now the prayer to pray the prayer that our Lord Jesus Christ taught us to pray, as we are bold to pray." Be bold in your prayers. Be brave. The signers of the Declaration of Independence, they were brave hearts. They knew that they had their necks in a noose if the colonies lost the war. They wrote, "With firm reliance upon the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." Those are lofty words, but make no mistake about it, they depended upon a higher power than themselves. They pledged themselves to it. And many of them indeed paid a huge price. 5 were captured by the British and imprisoned, and they were treated harshly. 12 had their homes pilgrimaged and burned. Most were ruined financially. But they dared to pay the price. They were brave, and they trusted in the words from this psalm. "Trust, the eye of the Lord is on those who hope in His steadfast love," and they did. They trusted. They believed. They declared their faith in God. And so this morning, as we join in this sacrament of the Lord's Supper, let us remember the heroic character of Jesus Christ, who went to the cross for our salvation. He bled and died for you and me. He was heroic and did the very will of God. We need more heroes as the people of faith. And finally, thirdly, to be true to the faith of those who have gone before us, to be followers of Jesus Christ, we need to see God's vision for our world. A group of people, think about it again, from 13 very different colonies came together and for the first time began to see themselves not as Pennsylvanians or New Yorkers, but they saw, and it's a wonder, they saw themselves as a new nation knit together under God. It was the start of E Pluribus Unum, which literally means out of many, one. It is a great miracle, is it not, that with all this diversity we have as a people, that we, under the providence and protection of God, we have created and maintained a United States. We pray today for our nation that it will continue to be healthy and strong and united and under God's divine protection. I hope all of us pray that. But we can do more than that. For our task under God's watchful eye is not just to pray for America, not just for a national goal of unity, but to pray for an international unity under God, under God's watchful eye. The cross of Jesus Christ and the Christian flag and the steeples on our churches and statues and cemeteries, the crosses there across the land are more than just national symbols. The cross of Jesus Christ and this sacrament celebrates a moment of grace and love for all people and all nations. When we repeat and pray the Lord's Prayer, we do not say, "Our American Father." We say, "Our Father." And this means all countries. Our prayers should always envision and declare the love of God for a Savior who came for the whole world. And in our private prayers, when we pray for the world and we pray for others and when we pray for those on our borders, I believe every time we pray for them, God smiles and is warmed by those prayers for neighbor. Because God hears in our prayers that we truly understand that we are brothers and sisters united and we all dwell under God's watchful eye. May it always be so. Let us pray. O Lord, we pray for our nation. We pray for neighbor. We pray for those who even hate us. We pray for children everywhere. We pray for all striving for freedom. Lord, teach us how to pray. Amen.